Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, bringing you a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Today, we're going to be speaking about Ari Fold, who was a great, great, great man. He was a host here on Israel News Talk Radio, bringing you Bulletproof, and he was a Israel advocate all over the social media, speaking up for Israel, just shooting out the truth. He was a reservist in the Tzanchanim, in the Israeli combat, and he was a dad and a husband and a brother and a son and a friend. And he was murdered by terrorists, a week ago. And it's really hard to gather this reality. It's really strange and it's terrible. And immediately after we lost Ari, it became obvious that Ari was a superhero. And when you think about that, what is a superhero? How is a superhero more than a hero? Well, a superhero, he has supernatural powers, and he seems to be, if you think about the superheroes in the comic books, like Superman and Batman and all of those, the Hulk, they're all people who in their regular everyday lives, they present themselves as regular people, just like you and I. But then at times of crisis, when the evil comes to hurt the innocent, then that superhero, he changes and turns into a supernatural being that goes out and fights the evil. And that's what Ari did. Ari was an Israel advocate. He was a friend. He touched so many people around the world. And we're seeing that now after he's gone. And then now we realize that he wasn't just a regular guy. So we're going to be speaking with two guests. We're going to have Mudar Zaharan, the Jordanian-Palestinian leader, who's going to be speaking about his connection with Ari and his take on the terrorism. And we're going to be speaking with Rabbi Brian Baruch Thau, who knew Ari for many, many years, and he was a friend of the family. So tune in. We're taking a break now for the news, and then we're going to be right back with this very special show.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And now we are speaking with our good friend, Mudar Zaharan, who is a Jordanian-Palestinian leader in exile in the UK. And today, Mudar, welcome on the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, David.
Mudar, a week ago, a little bit more, we lost a very dear friend. Ari Fold was murdered by a 16-year-old terrorist at the Gush Etzion a shopping center, and I would like to speak with you to hear some of your thoughts on this this situation.
First of all, I would like to extend my sincerest condolences to the families and friends of Ari. I knew Ari personally, met the man in 2014, a very wonderful, down-to-earth, and passionate gentle giant, by all means. It was quite a shock to hear about his death, and most painful was that he was killed by one of my own people. Where Ari was killed, for those who didn't know, he was killed at Rami Levy Shopping Center near Gosh Etzion Junction, a place that I can literally see from the window of my in-laws where I stay when I'm in Israel and the West Bank. I can see the shopping place. I always drive there for the good prices. Those who know the area know that you can see Muslim women wearing the veil shopping next to Orthodox Jewish men. The place was a landmark of coexistence and cooperation, and you would see Arab workers working exactly next to their Jewish co-workers. This embodies the fruit of peace and prosperity in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, and a pecan of coexistence. This place was tainted by the blood of an innocent victim, a man who left us a hero who died trying to save a woman. One of my friends is a Palestinian cardiologist, American-trained cardiologist. He watched the video. He was very, very unhappy with what he saw. But what hurt me the most was he told me that had Ari not run and pushed his heart while he was wounded to save a woman who was being chased by the terrorist, he told me that there was a 50% chance he could have survived had he just done, has he just laid on the ground and done nothing for an hour or two.
This is not the first time. It's not the first expert who I've heard make this point that Ari, because he went out to save other people while he was so severely wounded, that he might have been saved if he wasn't so persistent to save others. And he died as a great hero. As you mentioned, he was a giant. And I don't know how many people realized when Ari was alive that he was a giant. I don't know if he himself even considered the fact that he was so special. He was just so modest in his greatness that he didn't even show the pride in his very special personality.
Well, it's time to stop the whining over Ari's tragic murder. Ari is now with God in a much fairer place. Ari is with God where there is justice, as far as we both, Jews and Muslims, believe, that where he will be definitely treated much better and by his deeds, not through the labels given to him as a settler, as a Zionist, as any of those names that they choose to demonize the Jewish people in Israel and Palestine with. That said, it's time to stop whining and think forward. This should have been the straw that broke the camel back for all of us. Enough is enough. Let's put the facts on the ground.
When you say that we need to look forward, what are the practical steps that you are suggesting that we should implement?
We need to call things by their own name. The young kid, the stupid, ignorant idiot who killed the young Ari, was a 16-year-old, a teenager, could have been my kid or your kid if they were indoctrinated under the terrorist, Islamist, radical Palestinian Authority. Palestinian Authority is the place that should be actually demolished rather than the home of the terrorist. Palestinian Authority under Abbas works against Palestinian Arabs, Israeli Jews, works against all of us, and they come on top with their luxury limousines and Swiss bank accounts. It's time to let those awful people go back to Tunisia. And most of them came from Tunisia in the first place. Very few native Palestinians who grew up, who were born and raised in the West Bank or elsewhere, who are actually in the Palestinian Authority top ranks. It's time to call a spade a spade. Those people are accomplices, in fact, the instigators. It's time for them to go. It's time to accept that most Palestinians, and I can authoritatively say this, most Palestinians and Jordanians at the moment openly look at the Israeli government with envy. They wish they had that government. They wish they were under that government. And I can authoritatively confirm, and I would challenge anyone to prove me wrong, most Palestinians openly yearn to the days when Israel had full sovereignty over the land. We had health care. We had welfare, we had what was called the civil administration, we had European pay standards, we had jobs, we had free cars that didn't have a huge tax on them. Right now, we have everything that's called misery and evil, and our youngsters are being indoctrinated into this. Most Palestinian people, most Palestinian parents don't want this. Never mind what you see in television. Never mind the fact that you see at least one terrorist attack per week, like the one Ari had fallen to. But on the other hand, how many Palestinians deal with Jews every day on a daily basis? At least 500,000 people. It shows that the majority don't want terrorism. The majority have had enough. And we no longer believe in that myth. Most of us like, what does the Palestinian Authority want? A Palestinian state? Rest assured, most of us do not want that Palestinian state. What does the King of Jordan want? He keeps going to the United Nations, a dictator, a killer, someone who tortures people, someone who threatens my own parents, elderly parents, with murder. He keeps addressing the world, speaking about so-called human rights of the Palestinians and how he wants a two-state solution where Israel gives up all of Judea and Samaria and the West Bank and even Jerusalem for the sake of what he calls peace. No, sir, we don't want you. We don't want your advice. Both Abbas, the King of Jordan, and those other people like Hamas are the monkeys in the middle. It's time to get rid of him. It's time to cut. We'd like to thank President Trump for cutting the funds to the terrorist Palestinian Authority, for basically holding Jordan responsible for the funds it gets from the United States. Enough is enough. Instead of crying and whining over Ari's death, we should literally do everything in our hands to make sure this doesn't happen again. And the power is on our hands. We have a very strong man in the White House who listens and understands. And we have a good man in the Prime Minister's office. Bibi Netanyahu is whether you like him or not, is after all a patriot who refused to give in to the terrorists several times. It's either that we move forward or we sink together. There's no third option.
Well, Daryl, I want to ask you spoke about the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, who keep pushing for this two-state solution, this two-state delusion idea, and the Palestinian Authority under the dictator Abbas, who hasn't been elected in the past 13 years. And I wanted to ask about the funding for both of these countries. What source of funding do they have? And this is especially of interest because the Palestinian Authority insists on paying salaries to terrorists, even to this terrorist who just murdered Ari Fuld. They're already offering benefits to the family of this 16-year-old. Where are they getting the money from?
The money comes from lavish taxation of the locals. Honestly, most of the money does not come from foreign aid. An example of that, cars in Israel, which cost, for example, $20,000, the same vehicle would cost $55,000 in the Palestinian controlled areas because they impose incredible tax. A TV that you can buy for $700 in Jerusalem, you would buy the same TV in Ramallah for $1,200. They tax us to death. The same goes in Jordan. While for the first time in Jordan, first time in 100 years, we have a famine in Jordan. Believe it or not, children going to bed hungry without food, children who are losing weight and becoming dwarfed because of lack of nutrition in Jordan, as the king is traveling the world in, you know, lavish five-star hotels and private jets, and he's talking about the human rights of the Palestinians, claiming that the Gazans are under siege. Well, guess what's the biggest health problem now in Gaza? The biggest health problem is obesity for children. While Jordanian children are starving, 165,000 Jordanian children are dwarfed because of lack of nutrition. This is all, everything you listen to in the news is not only a joke, it's a farce that's no longer comedy, no longer funny. It's disgusting. We need to start refusing, not giving in into the argument, not even accepting the argument. We have to follow President Trump's approach, which is, you know, it's fake news, shut up. That's it. There is no oppression of Palestinians in Israel. There are security measures which are very annoying and very harmful to us Palestinians, but they only came into existence after the second intifada, which was financed, instigated, and promoted by Qatar, Jordan, and Mubarak's regime.
I must cut you off because we're coming towards the end of this segment. Everyone, don't go away. We're going to be back right after this short commercial break. In the meantime, you can share the show and comment, send in any comments on the comment section on Israel News Talk Radio. And we will be right back after this short commercial break.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, everyone, thank you for joining us. We are speaking with Mudar Zaharan, the Jordanian-Palestinian leader who is in exile in the UK, and we're speaking about the horrific murder of the protector of Israel, Ari Fuld, who was murdered a week ago by a 16-year-old Arab terrorist and is now being rewarded by the Palestinian Authority. Mudar, before we took the break, I was asking you about the funding that enables the Palestinian Authority to give out these rewards to murderers. Please tell us some more.
Well, most of the money used to come from Arab nations who support us, support the Palestinians. For example, Saudi Arabia used to give hundreds of millions of dollars each year to the Palestinian Authority in the name of constructions, rebuilding, reconstructing, providing for the Palestinians. Obviously, we have no welfare system in the Palestinian Authority, and you only get the welfare if you kill a Jew. So a prerequisite, I think, in the form is whether you've killed a Jew or not. This is racist. This is Nazi. This is insane and unfair to us. The money also comes. The biggest instigator here has always been Qatar. First of all, most of you don't realize that Abbas holds Qatari citizenship. He holds both Jordanian and Qatari citizenships. His children are all holders of Qatari passports and Canadian passports. And he's very loyal to Qatar, so is Hamas. This shows you the joke that's being played on us, that both sources are allies, Hamas and Abbas. They follow the same master, Qatar and Jordan. They're both very loyal to both countries, and the money were funneled always through those countries by the billions. What they give to the terrorists is a fraction of what they get. Most of it ends up in their Swiss accounts and accounts in another European country, basically France. And the money now, a huge chunk of it came from the United States. The problem with the money from the United States is the Palestinian Authority would steal the money coming from Arab countries.
Mudar,
and the money from the U.S.
Hold on for a second, Mudar. Okay, Mudar, I'm back with you.
Okay, back with you.
Mudar, the Palestinian Authority / the PLO is a terrorist organization. They've never changed their ways. They were brought in from Tunis to assume government and responsibility for the Palestinian Arab population in Judea and Samaria. They've been embezzling the monies from their own taxes and from the international aid, and they're giving away so much money to support terrorism. So it turns out that this organization always was and still is a terrorist organization. I've been calling on my readers on social media to call up their elected representatives in whatever country they live in and to demand that their countries stop funding the Palestinian Authority and put the Palestinian Authority on the list of terrorist organizations. Now, the two-state delusion is a no-go from the beginning. But if not this, then what? What do you suggest? How are we going to resolve the conflict here in Israel and the region?
Facts speak louder than words. It is a fact that's a known piece of knowledge amongst the establishment in different countries, including the Arab establishment, the Israeli establishment, the American establishment, and the British and European establishment that the Palestinian Authority won't survive for too long after Abbas. Abbas is the last so-called functioning Palestinian Authority leader. After that, there's going to be anarchy and chaos, unfortunately, because there's no clear successor. And either way, they have bankrupted the authority to the point where it's not going to survive beyond Abbas. Therefore, once Abbas is gone, an old man, and he also has had enough, I understand, my sources confirmed that he really wants out, because, you know, with all those billions he's made, he really wants to retire in peace. And that being the case, obviously, the Palestinian Authority is going to disintegrate, and eventually Jordan will have to play a role under the Confederation. The role that's being envisioned behind closed doors is Jordan in a confederation with major cities in Area A. Hebron will not be included. Hebron will be run by a local authority, a council between Arabs and Jews. Only the major cities will be under a civil administration from the new Jordanian state. This could never happen as long as Abdullah is in power, because he's not a Palestinian, he's not a Jordanian, he's a Saudi, and he's totally opposed to any form of settlement, because Abbas and Abdullah have both done very well under the conflict. Why would they seek anything else? Why would they seek changing the laws that could actually, you know, make them lose their benefits?
So basically, the status quo is a huge money draw for these professional terrorists and professional peacemakers who will continue to cultivate this current situation and make money off of the situation forever, as far as they're concerned.
Well, it's very similar to the days of the Prohibition, you know, when alcohol were banned in the United States. The same gangs that used to sell alcohol illegally didn't want alcohol to be allowed again, because it's going to put them out of business. So if we establish peace, a real peace, it's going to actually run Abbas, King of Jordan, Hamas, they're going to run out of business. That's why they are not interested in peace. It's really, really, we can't move anywhere forward before we get those people out of the picture. And we're not asking you or the United States to do anything. We are doing the job. Jordanians have been in the streets since last February. The media has not been covering it, but you can happily, I would happily show you, or would happily lead you to our YouTube channel, the Jordanian Opposition Coalition, and our Facebook pages, where there are videos, some of them live, of what exactly is happening right now. And I don't think Abdullah is going to last for too long. For the record, Abdullah and Abbas, both of them almost lost their thrones several times in the last 8 years. But each and every time, Obama would save both men. Obama was, you know, a globalist, an arch globalist, who definitely believed in keeping conflicts alive, either in North Korea or in the Middle East. He bailed them out several times. I don't think the current administration in the United States would seek at all to topple Jordan's king by any means. On the other hand, if the people, if the public chooses to topple him and Abbas, then I don't think Trump is going to go any extra mile to save them, because he knows exactly what they've been about. He's keeping, like, he's not interfering, but he's also not going to do any extra things to save both. Both men are a fish out of water. They are outdated, and they have overstayed their shelf lives of their reign or tenure. It's time to move forward. Change is coming, and I can tell every Knesset member, every congressman, every senator, every member of parliament in the European Union or the UK or elsewhere, every politician, change is coming to the Middle East, and it starts with Jordan. Once change in Jordan has materialized, the so-called right of return is gone, the so-called issue of Israel sovereignty is gone, the issue of statehood is gone, all of these will be fixed. And then we can move forward. Stay tuned, change is around the corner.
Well, amen to that. Mudar Zaharan, recently you spoke at a conference, a joint conference of Jewish residents in Judea and Samaria and Palestinian or Arab leaders that took place at the European Union. Your speech went viral on the internet. I think that you got hundreds of thousands of views on all the different platforms that it was shared. In addition to your speech that was made in English, It was uploaded with subtitles in Arabic and in Hebrew, and it's just all over the place. People are really interested in hearing the message that you are sharing on those diplomatic platforms.
Well, it's the message. I think one line embodied the importance of the message. The message I was telling the European Union that they must either change their ways with Israel and the Palestinians and stop promoting and supporting terrorist groups and terrorist entities like the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, the Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, or they're going to get out of the game. Basically, it's the last wake-up call to Europe, either that they change their approach in the Middle East or they're going to be simply out of the game. It's as simple as that. At the same time, if you go to my site, if you go to any other site, you have not seen an Arab backlash or uproar against...
That's really interesting. Tell us more about that. You're sharing this video and you've given Arabic subtitles and it's all over the place on social media. You're saying that you're not getting backlash from the Arab community?
No, in a normal setup, if I made the same speech 5 years ago, there would have been a call for me to get lynched.
Most
Arabs in secret, many Arabs sent me messages in secret thanking me for the speech. And on my group pages and stuff, we got less than 10 negative comments. Usually, in a normal setup, someone who makes this speech should be lynched tomorrow morning. By dawn time, I'd be lynched. What does this mean? It means that Arabs have changed. They are waking up, especially Arabs in Jordan and the territories. They're waking up to the fact, listen, no hatred for Israel or Jews could be stronger or louder than their crying, hungry children. People under the Palestinian Authority and under the Hashemite Kingdom are starving. I'm not talking about not being able to buy a laptop. They are literally struggling to find a single meal per day. People cannot be in this position and be focused on, oh, we want to kill Jews. The hatred is still there, but they are no longer interested in a war, as was the case in the Second Intifada and the First Intifada. These are the strong winds of change. You better listen to it or get taken by the hurricane.
Well, Mudarza Aran, I want to thank you so much for being with us on the show and for sharing your feelings about the current events and the work that you do. And I wish you many, many blessings from Israel. You should be successful on your journey.
Beretz Hashem, inshallah, thank you very much. God bless you all and happy new year. Mark my words, this year will be the one that brings actual and factual peace. Stay tuned and keep the perks.
Everyone, don't go away. We're taking a short commercial break and we'll be right back.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman returns to Israel News Talk Radio on October 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time. Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back. Now we are speaking with Rabbi Brian Thaw, or Rabbi Baruch Thaw, who is a longtime friend of Ari. And we're remembering Ari, and it'd be wonderful to hear some of your insights and stories, Rabbi.
The entire family, and of course Ari was a very young guy at that age. At my age, I was around 12 or 13. He was in a stroller. My friend Adam Furziger told me that Rabbi and Mrs. Fold brought Ari in a stroller to his bar mitzvah, which is like a week after my bar mitzvah. So it was literally, I've known. We lost touch for a while because obviously he was living the dream here in Israel, and I was in America. But about 5.5 years ago, when I made Aliyah, I came and joined the Torah Dojo, the karate club here in Beit Shemesh. And I walked in and there was Ari, who was the sensei and the teacher. And he says, oh, I remember you. And I said, I remember you. And we started again the friendship that had started many, many years ago. And for the last 5 years, I've been working out with Ari. every week, almost every week, with, you know, and Ari was training me not just in karate. Ari's karate presence was much more than that. He helped me break cinder block with understanding that it was all in my mind. It was nothing to do with strength. Ari was able to, he was an amazing teacher. He never gave up on you. He gave you the corrections that were necessary for you to do well. But he never sugarcoated it either. If he said something was wrong, he did something wrong, he gave you a heck for it. He made sure that you, when you came back the next time, you would improve. And if you didn't improve, he would say you didn't improve, and he would give you a hard time. But he always loved you, and he always cared about you. And one of the stories, you know, Ari, whenever the group, the dojo, the club would take a water break, he would always call me over and show me some of the pictures that I'm not so sure that he was supposed to show me. But he would show me, okay, this is what I did in the last Miloim. These are the three or four terrorists that I caught. This is what happened. And he wasn't saying it, he wasn't bragging. He just was telling, this is fact. This is what I did.
You know, that point is something that I've been thinking about. It hasn't left me from the moment that I realized that it was Ari who was killed in this attack. That he was such an amazing person, and he was really so modest. He really did not flaunt about his I have the feeling that he himself wasn't aware of his greatness. It was just Ari.
Right. He, you know, when you look at the outpouring of love and the impact, there are 450 that have organized a committee to work and teach and do what Ari was doing. And all over the world, people are getting together to talk about Ari. And people are saying, you know, I didn't even know him, but just reading about him has inspired me. All over the world, thousands upon thousands of people, Ari has created something that I don't think Ari understood what he has done.
I really have that feeling that he was just present. And he didn't even realize how what a great inspiration he was. And he was all over the place. I mean, he was in the Miluim, and he was teaching karate, and he was teaching Torah, and he was doing Israel advocacy and Facebook Live, and he was just he touched so many people.
And you know, most of this stuff that he did was like, you know, I know many stories of people that couldn't afford karate. And, you know, Ari wasn't doing this for free. He was doing this for Parnassa. And yet, whenever there was somebody that needed help, Ari always helped them. And, you know, another story that happened to that Ari told me on the side one time was that he was driving home on Erev Shabbos from Yerushalayim and on Route 60 going through the Minharot. And he saw a woman dressed like a mitnachelet, like a settler woman, you know, with the round covering on her head, and all, you know, all dressed like a settler. And he put her stuff in his trunk and got her in the car and started driving. And he says to me, all of a sudden, I start to smell sheep. And I said to her, where are you going, La'an Atolechet? And she started mumbling something. And he said it again, and she started mumbling something. Ari put his foot on the brake. He got out of the car, threw all of the bags out of his trunk, pulled his weapon, pulled the woman out of the car, did a full body search, realized that this woman was an Arab, was dressed as a Jew, but it was an Arab. He calls the police. The police bring her to the precinct. They say to him, excuse me, sir, why are you making a big deal? It's Arab Shabbos. Go home. It's not a big deal. Ari says, I am not leaving here until there's a complete investigation of this person. This is not, I'm telling you, this is not just something stum. It's not just she happened to dress like this. And they said to him, no, we're not doing that. And he said, I'm not leaving here. It's Erev Shabbos. It's like an hour to go before Shabbos. He goes, I'm staying here until the head of your precinct comes and does a full investigation. And it was a big fight. And finally, they did the investigation, and it turns out that she admitted in the investigation, she buckled under the pressure, admitted that she was part of a group that was trying to infiltrate Jewish cars, and that it was a group of people trying to see if they could pass as settler women. And Ari, just on a separate story, must have just that alone broke up a ring of people who were trying to hurt Jews.
Amazing. It's truly amazing. You know, I shared with my children on Erev Shabbat, I told them that we don't do hespedim on Shabbat, but the opportunity to speak with the kids, you know, you sit on the shulchan, the table of the Erev Shabbat, and you have everyone together. And I had this stone on my heart all week. It's hard to explain. I was just so devastated. And I told them a few things about Ari. And I said, this person was a superhero. He was a gibor al, a superhero. And so my young daughter said, why was he a superhero? What's a superhero? And I said, a superhero is someone who goes beyond the natural expectations of a hero. And Ari did that in his last breath, just jumping over that wall and firing, shooting that terrorist and saving that woman. Amazing.
You know, we've been training for weeks and months about knives. I mean, that's the irony, that Ari has been teaching us to be careful, to watch be careful if you see someone with a knife. But the only way they could have gotten Ari was exactly in the cowardly manner that he did, from behind, without any warning. Because if he had even said one word like Allah Akbar or something like that, this guy would have been finished. It would have been all over for him. The only way that and the fact that Ari, with a mortal wound, did what he did, running after him and shooting the terrorist, was just an incredible sign of bravery. I looked at him, and I when you see him walking, and he shot the person, and then he went against the wall. He said, "Okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." And then the clip stops. But I don't think he even he was so strong. I spoke to my brother, who's a pulmonary critical care specialist. He said he doesn't know how Ari actually did that medically. There's no medical reason how he was able to do it, except for the fact that perhaps that Ari was just so strong and so powerful that his muscles and his brain and his spine willed it to work.
That's what Ari's brother told in the name of the Prime Minister, Netanyahu. He also noticed that, and he asked them how that was physically possible to do what he did.
Yes. Well, I like Donnie's answer better. Donnie said at the funeral
that Nahon.
It was Ari's neshama, and I really believe that was who Ari was. Ari was a really fire-breathing Jew, a lover of Jews, a lover of Torah, a lover of Israel, a lover of Klal Yisrael, and he really woke us up. Last past Saturday night, I was at Yeshiva at Kotel at the Kumsitz in memory of Ari Hashem Yikom Damo, and Shalom Katz said we're never going to be the same. We have to remember what Ari meant to us, and we have to take the lessons that he taught by example, and we have to take that and take it the next step further. So, I hope to be speaking to the family to discuss ways in which I personally can help carry the torch. I know that everyone...
Rabbi, I must cut you off because we are at the end of this segment, but everyone, we're going to do another show next week and speak more with more people about Ari. So if you have something to say, you can let me know, send me a message, and maybe we'll get you on the show too. Rabbi Thaw, thank you so much for sharing with us.
You're welcome, and may we wish everyone a Chag Sameach, and even though we're sad, We're going to live life, and we're going to live life the way Ari wanted us to live, b'simcha, with kavanah, and that we're going to make things better for Am Yisrael.
Rabbi Baruch, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Everyone, listen, this is not going to be the only show that we speak about Ari. We're going to hear more stories in future editions of A Hebrew in the Heartland. And if you have stories, Ari stories, that you would like to share, then just let me know, and I will get you on the show as well. Be well. Shalom from Israel.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.